الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاعتبروا يا أولي الأبصار صدق الله العظيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Before continuing with the incident of the Banu Qurayza, we will discuss a few reflections and lessons that we take from the battle of the battle that was fought against the Banu Nadir, and from the battle of the trench. After all, what is the purpose of discussing these incidents from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? So some of the reasons for us discussing these incidents, firstly, for us to appreciate what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had done for us, the difficulties that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam underwent for our sake, so that deen could reach us. Then to appreciate the sacrifices of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum did, the difficulties that they underwent for the sake of deen reaching us. And we are indebted to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum for their efforts, for their tireless efforts in difficult situations. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum endured and they persevered. They supported Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with everything that they had in order for deen to reach us. So to appreciate their sacrifices. And then together with appreciating their sacrifices, for us to take lesson from these incidents and to apply these lessons into our own lives. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses these incidents, the incident of Banu Nadir in Surah Al-Hashr and the incident of the Khandaq of the trench in Surah Al-Ahzab, then whilst discussing these incidents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned certain important lessons, certain important points for us to reflect on. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning the outcome of the Banu Nadir, what had happened to them, that their forts did not protect them from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they themselves were breaking their own homes. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. Take lesson, O people of understanding. So Allah is encouraging us, or commanding us, to take lesson from these incidents. How these people felt that their material possessions will protect them, and they will be able to escape the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this did not assist them, this did not assist them and protect them in the least. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicted such a punishment upon them that they could never even think. فَأَتَاهُمُ الْعَذَابُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُونَ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَمْ يَحْتَسِبُوا. Azab came to them from where they could not even imagine. And what was that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed fear and awe in their hearts. And this fear had gripped them. And this became a means of them losing heart and losing courage and then giving up to the Muslims. So Allah instructs us to take lesson. After mentioning the outcome of the Banu Nadir, breaking their homes, etc., Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the reason. Why did this happen to them? And this again is that point of reflection for us. Allah says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ شَاقُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَمَنْ يُشَاقِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. This is because they opposed Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This outcome that they had, this consequence was because of them opposing Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, going against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, breaking the agreement that they had with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah says that the one who opposes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes him very, very severely. So the lesson that we learn is that we should never do anything in opposition to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in opposition to the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when we oppose the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we oppose the instructions and teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we open ourselves up for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for dire and serious consequences. Moving on, in the same Suratul Hashar, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the wealth of the Banu Nadir that came in and their lands that was taken as booty, and as was discussed in detail, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the option to the Ansar that either I will distribute it between the Muhajirin and the Ansar, or I will not give you the Ansar, I will give it to the Muhajirin, and then the Muhajirin will become self-sufficient. They will not be dependent on you as they were dependent on you up till this point. So in these ayat, there's many important aspects that have been explained and highlighted. The gist of it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala categorized the ummah into three broad categories. There's three categories of the ummah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. The first category, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولًا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. The first category is the category of the muhajirin. Those sahaba radiallahu anhum that migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara, that gave up everything, all their belongings, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah speaks about them, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that mentions the reason why they gave all of this up, why they left their homes, يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا, only in search for the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولًا. And they did this, helping and assisting the deen of Allah and assisting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the purpose of a Muslim's life. That my life is not for my own self. My life is for the sake of benefiting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the reason why I'm living. Allah has blessed me with whatever He has blessed me with life, with wealth, with intelligence, with resources. All of this must be of benefit to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولًا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them such a stamp of approval. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. These people are true. They are true in this quest of theirs. So this is one category that Allah speaks about. Then Allah speaks about the second category of this ummah. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah speaks about those that were living in Madinah Munawwara before the Muhajirin came. And those were the Ansar of Madinah Munawwara. They were living in Madinah before the Muhajirin came. And they had accepted and brought Iman even before the Muhajirin came to Madinah Munawwara. تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah speaks about their qualities, how they embrace their migrant brothers, those Muhajirin that came, how they opened their homes for them, how they embraced them. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Not only Allah didn't say that they welcome those that came to them, but Allah says يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ, that they have love for those that came to them. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. And now when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was distributing this wealth and giving all this wealth to the Muhajirin, they did not feel any reservations in their heart whatsoever. وَيُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. And they gave preference to their Muhajirin brothers over themselves, although they may be going through difficulty. And there are many incidents in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum of this nature, where the Sahabi himself is going through difficulty, but he gave preference to others. The famous incident of Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, when that guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to his home, and they did not have enough food, they switched off the lamp, pretending as if they are eating, so that the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam may eat. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. So this is the second category of the ummah. Now we do not fall in the first category, And we do not fall in the second category. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one more category. And if the rest of the ummah does not fall in this third category, then unfortunately there's no place for them anywhere in the ummah. And what's this third category? وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the third category. Those that come thereafter. Come after the Muhajirin and Ansar. What do they do? Allah only mentions one quality of theirs. The Muhajirin, Allah mentioned three qualities. The Ansar, Allah mentions two or three qualities of theirs. But those that come thereafter, Allah only mentions one quality. Highlighting the importance of this one quality. And what is this one quality? يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. The gist of this quality is that they were not from the Muhajirin, they were not from the Ansar, but they were from the lovers of the Muhajirin and the lovers of the Ansar. They loved the Muhajirin and they loved the Ansar, and they appreciated from the bottom of their hearts, they appreciated the sacrifice that the Muhajirin and Ansar did for deen. Because it was them who were the foundation of our deen. لَوْلَاهُمْ لَمَا وَصَلَ إِلَيْنَا مِنَ الدِّينِ أَصْلٌ وَلَا فَرْعٌ. If it wasn't for these people, then no aspect of deen would have come to us. Not a single ayat of Quran would have reached us. Not a single hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have reached us if it was not for these sahaba radiallahu anhum. So Allah says, those that come thereafter, they appreciate and they feel indebted to these muhajirin and ansar. And they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh Allah, forgive us and forgive our brothers that had preceded us in iman, referring to these muhajirin and ansar. And they go on to say, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And oh Allah, do not allow our hearts to have any enmity for the people of iman. We should not have any type of reservations regarding these sahaba radiallahu anhum that preceded us. And similarly, the other believers, we do not have any enmity in our hearts for them. Once someone came to Ali ibn al-Husayn, Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah, the grandson of Sayyiduna, of Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, and Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu an, the great grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he came to him, and this person asks a question in which he makes inference to a certain sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding whom he had some reservations. So he asked, what do you have to say about this sahabi? Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah immediately understood that this person here, he's got some reservation for this sahabi. So he asked him that, tell me, Allah speaks in the Quran Majid, lil fuqara il muhajirin. Allah speaks about the muhajirin. Are you from the muhajirin? He says, no, I'm not from them. He says, then Allah speaks about walladhina tabawwa'u ad-dara wal iman. Allah speaks about the ansar. Are you from the ansar? He said, I'm not from the ansar. He says, then Allah mentions one more category. And if you're not from this category, then there's no place for you in the ummah. And what is this category? This category are those that appreciate and make dua for the muhajirin and ansar. By you having reservations in your heart for this sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will not be from this third category also. Hence, there will be no place for you in the ummah and you will be out of the fold of Islam. So, the importance of us appreciating the sacrifices of the muhajirin and ansar. These were two ayat relating from Suratul Hashr, relating to the incident of the Banu Nadir. Just to mention two ayat from Suratul Ahzab, relating to the incident of the Battle of the Trench. Many ayat were already discussed, but two important ayat of reflection, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to important points, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us to take lesson. As we had explained already, that the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they had deserted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sahaba radiallahu anhum. This battle was a differentiating factor between the true and the sincere believers and the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لِيَجْزِيَ اللَّهُ الصَّادِقِينَ بِصِدْقِهِمْ وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ إِنْ شَاءَ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. That one of the reasons and the wisdoms behind this battle was so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward those that are truthful for their truthfulness. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, those believers that were true in the iman, Allah will reward them for their truthfulness. وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ إِنْ شَاءَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish the hypocrites if He wishes, or if they make tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept their tawbah. So this entire battle was that differentiating point and the deciding factor between the true believers and the munafiqeen. So in these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into detail explaining the nifaq and hypocrisy of the munafiqeen, and after reprimanding them for deserting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the cowardice that they had, for them being frightened of death, etc. After all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. That indeed for you, in the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a beautiful example. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a beautiful example, living example for you. The munafiqeen had Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam among them. So Allah is saying that here's a beautiful example for you. But then Allah says that for a person to take Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an example, then he needs to have certain qualities. The person who has certain qualities, he will adopt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his example. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. That person who has hope of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a good state with iman. وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. And that person who hopes to, who is longing for the akhirat. That person who hopes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of qiyamah. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And that person that remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. So explaining the importance of these qualities, this quality of hoping to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance, Allah says that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a beautiful example for these kind of people. Specifically, Allah is mentioning in the context of this ayat, Allah is saying that just as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so strong, he endured with such bravery, with such perseverance. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through so much of difficulties. One was on the occasion of Khandaq, the hunger that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through, as we had explained, tying a stomach to his mubarak stomach, tying a rock to his or tying a stone to his mubarak stomach and his mubarak belly to comfort himself from the hunger that he was experiencing, and the various other difficulties that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. In Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mubarak teeth became shaheed, two teeth of his became shaheed. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was injured. His beloved uncle was martyred in a very merciless manner. So all this, the endurance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the firmness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the difficulties that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam endured for the sake of deen, this is a perfect example for you. So specifically with regards to this, however, the mufassirin go on to say, they say that hadha aslun kabir fi ta'assi bi rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi aqwalihi wa af'alihi wa ahwali. In general, one is specifically relating to the context. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a perfect example of endurance, of bravery, of stability. But then in general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning a very important principle that we should be following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the manner in which he spoke, in the manner in which he conducted himself, and in every aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a perfect example for us. So this is another important point. And then lastly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, one is Allah spoke about how the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, how they had gone against their pledge. After the battle of Uhud, when they had deserted and ran away from the battlefield, they did not participate in the battle. Thereafter, they made pledges. And the pledge that they made was that we will stay firm. We will not run away from the battle. So they made the pledge on one hand. But then yet again in the battle of Khandaq, they had gone against their pledges and they broke the covenant that they made. So Allah spoke about how they broke their promises. And then Allah speaks about the believers. Certain Sahaba radiallahu anhum that had also taken pledges. Like Anas bin Nadar radiallahu anhum and other Sahaba radiallahu anhum who did not participate in the battle of Badr. Because the battle of Badr was not planned. Rasulullah ﷺ went out to pursue the caravan of the Quraysh, and then it turned out to be a battle. So there were certain Sahaba radiallahu anhum that did not participate because it was not incumbent upon them to participate. And Badr was very far away from Madinah Munawwara. They were unaware that a battle was ensuing. So they were not there. They did not have the opportunity of being there in Badr. But because they were not there in Badr, then they felt very bad. They regretted that we could not participate. We could not give our contribution for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of that, they fell bad. And some of these Sahaba radiallahu anhum also made a pledge. Like Anas bin Nadar radiallahu anhu, who was the uncle of the famous Sahabi radiallahu anhu, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. So what he said that if Allah blesses us with another opportunity of fighting against the disbelievers, لَيَرَيَنَّ اللَّهُ مَا أَصْنَعْ, then Allah will see what I'll do. Allah will see how I will contribute for His deen. Meaning I will show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how much I can give for His deen. And during that battle, he was running forward. And one sahabi asked him, where are you going? He says, Wahan lirihil jannah. How beautiful is the fragrance of Jannah. I can actually perceive and smell the fragrance of Jannah coming from the side of Uhud. And he becomes shaheed in that battle. When he becomes shaheed, he had approximately 80 wounds on his body. His sister only recognized him through his fingertips. That's the only way in which she could recognize him. So, the sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned that this ayat of the Quran Majeed that we're going to be discussing was revealed regarding this sahabi and other similar sahaba radiallahu anhum that made pledges to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah speaks about how true they were to their pledges. Allah says, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. From the believers, they are those that made pledges to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they fulfilled their pledges that they made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were not like the munafiqeen, like the hypocrites, who went against their pledges. Rather, they fulfilled these pledges that they made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. Allah mentions two categories of them. Two categories of them. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. Some of them have already fulfilled this covenant, fulfilled this pledge that they made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have already given their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or they have already made such contributions during their lifetime that it is as if they have fulfilled this vow that they made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Talha radiallahu anh, on the occasion of Uhud, he had protected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the arrows that were being fired against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with his hand until his hand became paralyzed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said regarding Talha, "Awjaba Talha." Talha has made Jannat wajib for himself. On one occasion, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they wanted to know who does this ayat refer to? فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. That they are those that have already fulfilled their pledge that they made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they were feeling overawed by the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they were feeling difficult to ask this question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Obviously, the great personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you cannot just ask anything. You have respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there was a villager that was there. Now a villager doesn't have so much of respect, and he doesn't have that kind of formality that a person that's living in a town has. Normally they would be more open, and they will feel more free to ask questions. So they asked this villager, asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that who is meant by this ayat of the Quran? When this villager asked the question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa remained silent for a little while, until Talha radiallahu anhu entered the gathering. He says, I entered wearing some clothes, greenish clothes I entered, And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw me, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Hada mimman qada nahba." This is one of those people that have already fulfilled their pledge that they made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one category of those sahaba that made the pledge, they fulfilled their pledge. Either they gave their life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or during their lifetime, they had made such contributions that already gave them the stamp of approval that this person has fulfilled the pledge that he made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the other category of these sahaba that have made their pledge, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. The others are waiting. They're waiting for an opportunity to give their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the common thing among all these sahaba, وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. They haven't changed in the least. The munafiqeen broke their pledge. They broke the agreement that they made. These sahaba haven't changed in the least. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Respected friends, this is the reflection that we need to take. That the sahaba radiallahu anhum gave this kind of contribution. They gave their lives for the sake of deen. Or they had done such contribution during their lifetime, that Allah already gave them the stamp, minhum man qada nahba. They have already fulfilled that vow and that promise that they made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the reflection that we need to take, and the lessons that we need to take, is what do we do? Sahaba did what they needed to do. And they did it in the most excellent manner. To such a way that Allah already gave them the stamp of approval. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. They didn't change in the least. These were the sahaba radiallahu anhum that were true to the covenant that they made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we do now? The first is that we make an effort on our own deen. We make an effort to establish deen in our lives in a way that Allah will be happy with. That Allah will also give us that stamp of approval. That we have also fulfilled the pledge that we've made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Ramadan is coming to an end. In the month of Ramadan, we also, so to say, make certain vows to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also make some type of pledges to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also increase our ibadat. We also are more punctual with our salah, with jamaat, with our tilawat of the Qur'an Majeed, with dhikrullah, etc. With bringing about a'mal in our lives, staying away from sins. Now after the month of Ramadan is the time for us to fulfill this type of agreement and pledge that we made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That once Ramadan goes, it should not be that now we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how regarding the battle of Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when that rumor spread that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. Obviously it was a false rumor. But at that time some people decided, now what's the point in continuing? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Afa immata aw qutilan qalabtum ala aqabikum." If Rasulullah SAW has to pass away, or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to become shaheed, then will you turn on your heels? No, you can't turn on your heels. So your commitment is not only during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your commitment to Allah is even after the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the similar manner, our commitment to Allah is not only in the month of Ramadan. Our commitment must continue after the month of Ramadan as well. And this is the time for us to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how Anas bin Nadar radiallahu anhu said, لَيَرَيَنَّ اللَّهُ مَا أَصْنَعَ. Allah will see what contribution I will make for deen. So this is the time for us to show with sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we establish deen in our own lives. Then deen in the lives of our family. Making an effort on our family. This is our responsibility. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, kullukum ra'in. Every one of you is a shepherd. Like how a shepherd is in charge of his flock. And that shepherd will make sure that there's no harm coming to his flock. That not a single sheep or even a single lamb is attacked by the wolf. Similarly, there are wolves of fitna outside that are trying to attack our family members, our children. And we have to make an effort on our family to preserve their iman, to preserve their deen. And thirdly, we make an effort on the other believers. This is also our responsibility as being part of the ummah. Like how the sahaba radiallahu anhum had sacrificed so much for our sake. It's our responsibility also to sacrifice for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that this deen can continue. There are so many of our brothers that are far away from deen, whose responsibility it is to bring them to deen. It is our responsibility. Sahaba radiallahu anhum gave the ultimate sacrifice. They gave their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has made it easy for us. Allah has made it easy for us. We don't have to give our life. We have to give little time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend a little of the resources that Allah has blessed us with. Spend a little in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, as they say, ungli katakar shahido ke saath, shahido ke zumre mein, aadmi apne aap ko shamil kar de, that we cut a finger. We cannot give our life. There were those that gave their lives. But then we can just maybe cut our finger and we can be part of this group of the shuhada, of those martyrs of the sahaba radiallahu anhum. Some effort we make for the sake of deen, especially in this time, so far away from the glorious era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah will appreciate everything that we do. Everything that we do for the sake of deen in this time, Allah will really appreciate it. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us. Just after the month of Ramadan, the ijtima is taking place. Our senior elders are coming. It's a very, very great privilege for us that these elders are coming from different parts of the world. The elders are coming. They are coming to our shores. It was actually our right for us to present ourselves at the feet of our elders. But they are coming. And alhamdulillah, the ijtima is taking place. So let us try and assist in the ijtima, in the arrangements of the ijtima. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the battle of Badr also took place in Ramadan. The conquest of Makkah Mukarramah also was on the 20th of Ramadan. So in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they also gave time in the path of Allah in the month of Ramadan. So we try and assist and give our free time, whatever free time we have, and then we make niyat inshallah after the ijtima, or whenever possible and easy for us, we come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will be one way in which we can also resemble the sahaba radiallahu anhum and give some sacrifice for deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the sahaba radiallahu anhum the best of reward on our behalf. Allahumma jazim anna wa anil islami wal muslimina khayral jaza. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to follow in their noble footsteps. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa mulana muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.